Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm always thrilled that you are here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Billy Dees, and I'm here today for HO Press, Shore House Books, and all the fine people at HumorOutcast.com. If you haven't had a chance yet, do check out that website. Fantastic writers over there. New content pretty much every day. HumorOutcast.com. That is the place to take a humor break. On the studio line with me right now, I have Deborah Fazell. How are you doing today, Deborah?
I am excellent, Billy. How are you?
I'm actually really good. I'm in a good mood today. Got a great list of questions here for you. Deborah is the author of her new book, Full Circle, and this is the third installment of the Nick McDear suspense book series, the previous installments being The Evil That Men Do and A Walking Shadow. One of the first questions I usually ask the guest is where you're from, and I want to ask you of that as well, but I happen to find out in talking to you that we have a mutual area of origin, I'll put it that way. You want to talk a little bit about that, where you're from?
I was born in Canton, Ohio, where you yes. are.
Yes.
And I was like Nick McDear, actually. I was an Air Force brat in my early youth. We traveled around the country at different Air Force bases and then came back to Canton when I was around 10 and settled there. And I was actually so happy to grow up in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
I think that Ohio is one of the best kept secrets in the arts. Yeah. It is, that state has produced more actors than any other state in the country. Mm-hmm. And it is just a gold mine of experience, of training, of the high schools in the area are superb. There's mm-hmm. a lot of great community theater there. When I was growing up, I had a lot of opportunity to hone my craft. So I am forever grateful to Canton.
Well, it's great to hear you talk that way about it. A lot of times when I talk to people, they have a feeling that we're all cornfields here. And yes, agriculture is very big, and we're very proud of that, actually. But people forget that we're around the seventh largest economy. And obviously, we're behind California, New York, Florida, and places like that, Texas. But we're one of the largest economies, very diverse economy here. We have technology here. Medicine is very big here. Cleveland Clinic, and you mentioned the arts, the film industry up around the Cleveland area is yes. actually very thriving. So yes, it's so great to hear you talk about that. Now, you ended up writing plays and stuff when you were very young. Was that something that just came naturally to you, or did your parents have some influence on you? How did that happen?
First of all, my father was a doctor, so he was a man of science. How I ended up in the arts, he always said he never understood. I started writing journals as soon as I started to write, I kept a journal. Then I was involved with the Canton Players Guild, the junior theater, and they had a playwriting contest, and I wrote a play and I won. And after that, when I went on to college, I did college 1 year in Ohio, Bowling Green State University.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I took some writing courses there while I was, you know, in my acting career at the same time. So I kind of wrote my whole life, but it was always secondary. It was my hobby. Acting was my career.
That's so awesome. I'm always amazed by creative types like yourself. And you probably went to one of the premier places of study for people who are in the arts, Juilliard. What path took you there?
Well, actually, Billy, that's kind of a funny and embarrassing story. Yeah.
Was a guy involved?
No, there was, okay. There were no love affairs involved in this. It's worse than that, really. Okay. When I was at Bowling Green, I worked in a show with a girl whose older sister was in the very first class in the drama division at Juilliard. Mm-hmm. And they started their drama division only in the early 70s, late 60s. So it was brand new. When she told me about it, I was in awe because it was such a focused regime of voice and speech and movement and scene class and all these fantastic things. So I went home at Christmas and I said to my parents, I want to audition for Julia. And they looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, you know, the art school in New York City, I had never heard of Juilliard ever.
Okay.
And I mispronounced it. So they set me straight and we went to New York over Christmas. My dad had a medical meeting there and I took a look at the school, took out the application, went back in February, auditioned. And this is even how much dumber I am than I just showed. I thought Juilliard was like every other university in the country.
Yeah.
You know, they took in hundreds, thousands of students. Well, it was only after I got in that I found out they only chose 36 out of the whole country. So I was like, wow, I cannot believe this. It was the first time that I really thought, well, maybe I'm not so bad after all.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I have a little talent here. And I am so grateful for those years, too, because the training was intense. I made lifelong friends. I'm still close to my friends from Juilliard, and we have reunions back there. I was at one not so very long ago. And it was a gateway. It was a true gateway for my career.
Sure. Yeah. It really helps to be around other creative types, too. I noticed that, too. Now, I wouldn't put myself in the category of someone like you as a creative type, but as a media creator, It helps so much to be around other people who are creative because they lift you up. You work off of each other. You feed off of each other. And that can be so important. Now, you're obviously writing a lot now. So prior to writing, what was your career basically? Were you essentially a performer or?
Yes, I am. After Juilliard, I worked on the stage. Juilliard prepares you. It's a classic training. And it prepares you for the stage, although many of my classmates, some of them became quite famous, actually, but many of them went on to do movies. I stuck with the stage and worked around the country at professional regional theaters in Florida, Pennsylvania, Boston. Then I got cast in a musical production of Rip Van Winkle, directed by Josh Logan, who I know a lot of people don't know who he is, but he was quite famous at one time. He directed the movies Sayonara, South Pacific. He directed South Pacific on Broadway, among many others. And Sir Anthony Quayle played Rip, and I played his daughter. And I thought, okay, this is my ticket. Yes, it is. And so we played the Kennedy Center, and then we went on to the Annenberg Center in Philadelphia, where we died the most violent death. The show died in Philadelphia. And so I learned a very hard lesson that it's not always, things don't always end up the way you think they do. Some shows that I did that I thought were horrible ended up being big successes. So it's really hard to gauge from an acting viewpoint.
Yes. Yeah, I did stand up for a while, and one of the things that would always amaze me is collectively, the audience would have a personality. It was a weird or interesting, I should say, a psychological thing. And on a given night, people would laugh at certain things, and then on another night, they would all not laugh. You know, it was amazing to me that there wasn't more, that they would somehow become one in the same room. So you just don't know how people are going to take things, no matter how good it is. Yeah. Now getting back to your books, there's three of them, the most recent being Full Circle. How would you categorize your books and writing style? And just to let people know, you do inject some humor in it, just like any other type of story. How would you describe your books and categorize them?
I would put them in the psychological thriller category. They do follow one man, Nick McDear, and his life. You know, he meets a woman, Jesse Kendall Brady, and they do end up getting married. I'm not giving away anything here. But there's the early books dealt with the mafia, the NYPD. They all take place in New York City because after living in New York for 25 years, which was after Ohio, I really have a love affair with Manhattan. And it's very heartbreaking to see what's going on right now. But I place them in Manhattan. I do take my characters around the world, though. For example, in in Full Circle, you go to London for a while. In my newest one, I take you to Siena, Italy. There's a lot of humor because I love to laugh. And Nick McDear is this kind of tough guy. You know, he's a crusty guy who, the kind that women just fall madly in love with the hidden heart. Okay. But he takes himself very seriously. So it's fun to have things happen to him, that are humorous. I think maybe one of the things that sets me aside as a writer is that my background is acting. Mm-hmm. And therefore I can get into the heads of my characters. I mean, that's what I did for decades, where I created a persona on stage. So when I create these characters, first of all, I base them on real people. Not completely. I mean, no one would recognize themselves when they read my books. But that way, in my head, I see them. I hear them. I hear the way they would speak. And I can literally inhabit the skin of the character. And my biggest feedback is that the characters are so real and the dialogue is so real. I have a lot of dialogue in these books.
That's a great edge. That really is. I don't know that I've talked to too many authors that were actually, some of them had dabbled in acting, but to have the background that you do in the performing arts, that's got to be, a great edge to your creativity. And, you talk about the backstories of different characters and all that. You have that kind of built into how you create the characters. Now, you talked about your inspirations, and you have described Nick McDear as closed off, mysterious, brilliant, and he oozes masculinity and sexuality, and his heart and vulnerabilities are buried beneath his tough exterior. That's quite a character description. Was there any type of inspiration that you had for him in particular?
Well, I guess I should start with what the inspiration for the books were. I had one sibling. She was 6 years younger than me. And she died suddenly out of the blue when she was 36.
Wow.
And I was really grieving. We were very close. And that's when I turned to writing seriously. And out of that grief came these characters, Nick McDear and his younger brother, Andrew Brady, who is suddenly murdered. And Nick deals with the loss of his brother. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took my grief and turned it into these two characters and then took it from there. Nick is a combination of so many men I have known over my lifetime. I was one of those women that always fell for the bad boys.
Yeah.
Never learned, never got smart.
Bad boys do bad things.
And they just fascinate women.
Yeah.
And women always think they can change them and they can't.
Yeah.
They are who they are. And so writing a tough, tough character like Nick and trying to show his vulnerabilities to his vulnerability or his kids, he loves his children, and that's where I let you see the other side of him. Other things will bring it out, too. What I did with Full Circle, we can get to that later, but that's the inspiration for Nick right now.
Awesome. You on your first two books, you collaborated with another writer, and I hope I have her name right, Sherry Yanow.
Yes.
And can you describe the writing process and what dynamics impacted you when you had to shift gears and go solo for the third book?
Well, Sherry and I have known each other now for probably 15 years. We started writing together as soon as we met. I had basically crafted the first book badly, I might add, when I met Sherry, and Sherry had been writing her entire life. Very gifted writer, very, very good editor. And so when we started writing these books, we would plot out. And let me add that we did not do this side by side. At the time, she was in Illinois. I was in Ohio. We did this all through computer, through emails and phone and everything. We would plot out what we wanted to do with the book, where we wanted to go, the steps, step by step. And then I would sit down and I would do the first draft, send it to her. She would edit it. She would send it back to me. And then we'd go back and forth and back and forth until we agreed on a chapter. before we moved on. The difference between, well, there are a lot of differences between working with a partner and working solo, but one of the differences was it took so much longer. I mean, to write a chapter could sometimes be 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Yeah. Now, I mean, I wrote one whole chapter yesterday. It doesn't mean that that chapter will go into the book as is. It will edited and edited. But it was a really, really good working relationship Sherry and I had. And in the end, we got a great deal of enjoyment out of it. Yeah. When it came, when we finished with our original plan was to do two books, possibly three, but we ended up wrapping a lot of our plots in the second book. She wanted to move on. She's been a teacher throughout her life, and she had relocated to upstate New York or outside of New York City. And she wanted to teach. She wanted to go back to that. And she felt that these characters had run their had gone as far as they could go.
Right. Sure.
I didn't. These characters had been with me forever. And in the back of my head, I always saw a series. And so we talked it over, and with her blessing, I decided to go ahead and do it solo. And it was an incredible experience. I was going through a lot of health crises at the time. This is about a year ago. Okay. And writing this book really got me focused again and got me back on my feet. And I'm so grateful to have been able to do it. It's a different process, though. I mean, it's
sure
by yourself, you just go with it. I had a story I wanted to tell. And I told it. It's a little different from the first two books. The characters aren't any different, though. They're the same.
Yeah. Well, we had talked about this in pre-production, too. Your character, Nick McDear, he also kind of had to go a new direction. Like you said, the whole process was a little different. So that kind of gave you kind of a new way to go with your character, I'm presuming. Is that correct?
A bit, yes. Our first two books, as I said, dealt with the mafia, with there was a murder. I mean, it was about Nick getting to the bottom of his brother's murder, the NYPD. With this one, when that got wrapped, it was I wanted to delve into Nick and what made him tick. And what I did was dissect him carefully, you know, piece by piece. But I bring back his childhood. You see a lot of his past and why he is the way he is. Plus, it's a brand new marriage. He just married Jesse. I brought in a new character, a 12-year-old girl that is the product of an affair Nick had. Very hard on a young marriage.
Sure.
And this girl comes in and creates havoc. But it's very interesting because you see a new side of Nick in this book with his daughter and Kat, his daughter, is really a mini Nick McDear in a female form. Mm. So it's kind of fun. It really has been fun to write it. And now I'm on with the fourth one. I've got another one going.
Awesome. And now when you're out and let's say you're doing book signings or whatever brings you in contact with readers and people who have enjoyed the books, what's the best comment that impacts you or what would be like some of the, since you're such an artistic creator, what gives you the most fulfillment when people make certain comments to you about your work?
Well, the first one, hands down, I think every writer likes to hear this is I couldn't put it down. I was just, when this third one came out, a girl contacted me and said, I went through all three books in record time. It was like in 5 days. She just went from one to the next to the next. She said, I love the characters so much. My favorite comment is usually about the characters, that they just seem so real. They become friends and they can't wait to get the next installment to find out what happens to them next.
Yeah.
That's exciting for me.
Oh, I'm sure to know that you created something that connects with people's emotions in that way has to be very fulfilling. When readers, let's say they're interested in the, you know, they hear us talking about Full Circle and they say, wow, this is something I would really like to check out. Can you start with your new book or do you recommend going from the beginning and checking them out and working your way up?
All three books were written to stand alone. I mean, you can pick them up. You can pick up Full Circle. And I interject enough background periodically throughout the book that you'll know what happened before. But I think to get the full value of the characters, I would recommend starting with the first one.
Yeah.
There's one other thing that I want to say about one of my goals with these books. I was blessed to know some celebrities, to be around people in the business that have name recognition and a lot of wealth. And in general, people think they live great lives, that it's a whole different ballgame for them. I'm not one of these people. These are friends of mine. And of course, having money makes life easier. But what I want to show in these books, first of all, is that they have the same problems we all have. They're not special. I mean, I suppose there are a handful of them out there who think they are, but yeah. Basically everybody puts one shoe on before the other. I mean, it's just all the same. And I want people to come behind. I want to show the people behind the celebrity of these characters, because they're both very famous. Nick is like a John Grisham. I mean, he's a very well-known investigative reporter and author. People recognize him when he goes out. His wife, Jessie, is a huge Broadway star. They know her. So they deal with celebrity, and they both have money. One of the other goals of this book, these books for me, was to take you behind the scenes of the theater. People go and see a Broadway show or go and see a show in their own town and think, wow, what fun. That must be great. I would love to do that. There is so much work that goes on behind the scenes in order for that audience to have one magical moment one night.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that I do. I take you behind the scenes with Jessie as an actress. Even though she's a star, she still has to work. She still has her problems. And show you what an actress goes through, or actor, and what a production goes through in order to be mounted for an audience.
Yeah. Despite the incredible wealth that some of these performers have, and the perceived lifestyle that they lead. And of course, a lot of them feed into that with shows like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous and things like that. But for the most part, they're real people. And one of the areas that I've always had a lot of empathy for them, and I'll let you comment on this. Maybe you can talk about what you've witnessed. I went through a spell in my younger years in the 1990s, where, you know, with my disc jockey work and the stand up work, I had some recognizability. And I'm nothing on the order of a major star, but people do, they feel they can approach you anytime and criticize your work, whether you're at a dinner table or, you know, in your most private moments, seeking out a bathroom or something like that. I can't imagine what it would be like to be Brad Pitt or one of those people that are just have people ascending on them all the time. Does this affect their mental health? Does it affect their lifestyle? Have you experienced that? Have you witnessed that in some of the people that you've known?
I have. And sometimes, first of all, if you are well known in the business, it comes with the territory. And I write about that in these books. I mean, both Nick and Jessie say, look, you know, we are names. This comes with the territory. They try to protect their children. That's their main goal. Keep them out of the spotlight. It is hard. And for the most part, you're nice. You're courteous. You always sign an autograph if you can. But there are times when you have to draw the line and, you know, say, I'm sorry. I'm here with my wife. I'm here with my children. I need to be left alone. Not everybody is kind about it. I mean, I've seen some pretty ugly things, but it's hard. Yes, it's hard. It's very hard.
Yeah, that's one area where I do give, some breaks. It's easy to say, well, you have the lifestyle that we'd all want, but I know that there's that dark side, and I don't know what it happens. Here again, we talk about the psychology of crowds. People just feel that they can, someone who's well-known, they can say anything to them. And oftentimes this can make you feel very threatened and uncomfortable. And you know, that's, like I said, a part that we just don't give people who are famous enough credit for, sometimes not having the life that everyone would want.
Right. Also, these people, it forces some celebrities into being reclusive.
Oh, sure.
It's the only way that they feel they can have a life. And I, again, I deal with that problem in these books with both Nick and Jesse.
Interesting. Very interesting. Let me give the titles here again. The Evil That Men Do and A Walking Shadow are the previous two installments. The current one is Full Circle and author Deborah Fazell. Where can people find out more about you and where can people find the book online?
They're available on Amazon. If you go in and put any one of those titles in with my name, and the last name is spelled F-E-Z-E-L-L-E, my book will pop up. I have an author's page that you can access from that page with the book. I'm also on Facebook. I have an author's page on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. That's about it for now. But you can get to the books and to me through Amazon and through Facebook. That's probably the best way.
Awesome. Once again, Deborah Fazell, F-E-Z-E-L-L-E, and Full Circle, current book, the previous The Evil That Men Do, and A Walking Shadow. Some great insights into the creative mindset. Deborah, thank you very much.
Thank you
for talking to us today. Awesome. It's always
great. It's been fun, Billy. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Once again, my name is Billy Dees, and here today for HO Press, Shorehouse Books. Want to give a big shout out to Donna Kavanaugh.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. She's a lot of fun. And here again, kind of the vehicle that she uses for these publishing centers is humoroutcast.com. That's the place to take a humor break. Once again, humoroutcast.com. Do check that out. I'm Billy Dees. Thank you to our audience for listening to our podcast today. And we'll be talking to you again very soon.